Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Here we are, the week of Christmas. Man, it got here fast, didn't it? This week we talk about love. It's our fourth and final week of our Advent focus on the podcast. 1 John 4:9. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Out of love, God came to be with us. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. John 1:14 says, God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Then in Jeremiah 32:38, the Bible says, I will live among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. God is all-knowing and timeless. He had our rescue plan all figured out before we ever needed it. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Yes, God loves us, and He proved it by sending His Son to be born in a dirty manger. As we approach the day of His birth, I pray that we are celebrating in our hearts this amazing love that is the hope of all glory, the joy of our salvation, and peace that passes all understanding. His name is Jesus. In a humble, holy little baby lying in a manger, we're reminded God's plans always win. From eternity past, He has pursued us. He wants relationship with us. He wants us to love Him. God showed His love by bringing us mercy through Jesus. Ephesians 2, 4-5 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. God showed His love by sending Jesus to offer us His peace. John 14:27 says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. Those are the words of Jesus. This was when He was promising the disciples the Holy Spirit would come to them. Jesus came to exalt the humble. I think it's amazing that God chose a little girl who was probably 12 years old to be Jesus' mother. She didn't have power or wealth. She didn't know much about being a mom either, I'm sure. Yet He used her to bring Jesus into the world so that He could be glorified. He is a God of humble beginnings. Jesus' life began in such a humble way in the manger. Not only did God use a teenage girl, but when He proclaimed the birth of Jesus, He chose shepherds, not princes or kings. He told shepherds, men who the community would not hold in the highest esteem. This is one lesson that God is teaching me. Humility is difficult, but for us to truly be more like Jesus, humility is definitely a requirement. It makes me think of the old Mac Davis song, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Oh me, many of us, especially me, could learn more about being humble. There's strength in humility. What power it took for God to humble Himself, to let His Son be born in such a way, to grow up from humble beginnings, only to be brutally murdered by those he came to save. To coin an old song from my childhood, if that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the little sparrows can't fly. Yeah, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this, if that isn't love. Only God is capable of that kind of love, and we are only capable of deep love through Him. It's why Jesus came. He is love. And as we approach this week, and as we celebrate the birth of Christ, Matthew 22:37 reminds us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Years ago, a friend of mine, Diana, told me that even though she didn't have a lot extra to give at Christmas, she still would find a way to make a difference. On the way into the store, each time she shopped, she would empty her change purse into a donation kettle. Then, whatever change she got from her Christmas purchases inside the store, she would give on her trip back to the car as she again passed the kettle. On one trip past the kettle, she just had 12 cents to give. While that doesn't seem like very much, just imagine if every American gave 12 cents. That would be millions of dollars. What a difference it would make to those in need. When I look at all the blessings the Lord has given me, I realize that there's so much more than I deserve, and in so many cases, much more than enough to meet my needs. He gives His children extra, and it's not by mistake, it's on purpose, for His purpose. He wants us to do something with that change, with the extra He gives us. So what am I going to do with the change from the extra He's given me? Am I going to keep the change, or will I give it away? 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." But what can I give? First of all, I can give time. Anyone can take a few minutes to call or write someone and share an encouraging word, to listen to a hurting friend, or to say a prayer on behalf of a brother or sister in need. James 5:16 reminds us, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." I can give my talents. Talents come in many forms. We can use whatever talents God has given us to bless others. Romans 12:5 through 10 describes some of them. "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Man, that's a tall order. I don't know about you, but I sure can't do that on my own without His help. What else can I give? Treasure. It is simple. God calls us to help the poor. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, "There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land." After all, God taught us about giving when He sent His Son to save us some 2,000 years ago. We celebrate His precious gift, described in John 3:16, at this time of year. There is no better verse about love and about Christmas. It's the whole reason for Christmas. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yes, Jesus was the greatest gift of love ever given to those with the greatest need of all. That would be all of us. You see, the greatest need that anyone could ever have is the need for a Savior. We needed saving from death because our sin separates us from God. There's nothing that we could ever do that would make us good enough to get to God on our own. We needed Him. We needed a Savior. Thank God He loved us so much that He sent us one. When Jesus gave, He gave it all. He died on a cross for each one of us personally to remove the sin that separated us from God. Christ gave His life for ours because He would rather die for us than live without us. He shared His love with the world, and it has changed it forever. Hopefully, it's changed each one of us. In fact, Jesus is still changing lives today. He came to earth equipped with so much more than any mortal man. Jesus alone had the ability to save us. He had unconditional grace, unimaginable mercy, and sacrificial love. I'm so glad that where I'm concerned, He didn't keep the change. He gave it all for you, and He gave it all for me. Oh, what a Savior. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for his friends." Matthew 25:40 says, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" John 4:21, "He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." That's Luke 6:38. There's proof throughout the Bible of God's great love for us. There's also proof of what He expects from us, and that's to love our neighbors. Our neighbors are everyone around us, family and friends, those in need, those who are not in need, those who are kind, those who are not kind, those who love us and those who don't. We are supposed to love Him, and we are supposed to love all of them. In God's Word, He gives us direction about how to love. 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We have the best example in Jesus. He showed us how to love in a way that we could never love. This Christmas season, as you're reading the Christmas story from the Bible, if you're like me, most likely from Luke 2, search through every detail of the story. You'll see the word love. Love given to us. God with us, Emmanuel. At his death, you'll see love poured out to save us from our sins. Finally, in his word, we see his expectations for us to pour out love for other people. Love is an action word. This Christmas, I challenge you to follow God's example in sharing love with other people. This Advent focus has been a blessing of hope, peace, joy, and love. And it all comes together this week as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My prayer for you and your family this year is that you have a very Merry Christmas and it's filled with God's love. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.